If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Listen to what the scripture says, verse 29 of Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers. So it is the intention of God to have a family. Now one may think the all-sufficient God, the El Shaddai, the El Elyon, the Most High God, the Lord God, one would think that he is comfortable in himself to the point where he may not or does not need anybody else. Nothing could be further from the truth. Because he's love, love needs love. If that were not true, the greatest commandment would not be to love him with all your heart. If God were totally comfortable with only himself and not needing us, then he would say the greatest commandment is to work for me. All I want you to do is work for me. But he says, no, the thing I want the most is your love. I want your love. I want your love. I don't care about all the works. The works, yes, they're fine, but that's not the thing that distinguishes you. It's your love. So the young man says to Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? What's the best? He said, love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus, you're doing great works, but you don't love me. What good is all the works? Working two jobs so I can have a big house. Working three jobs so I can have a fur coat. Working four jobs so I can have a 20-carat ring. But you're not there with me. That means I'll take your house, I'll take your coat, and I'll take your ring, and I'll love somebody else with your stuff. And that's what we say to God. We say, God, I'm going to take your gifts, your anointing, your presence, and your power, and I'm going to love something else other than you. And in many cases, it's ministry. So ministry has become our Delilah. It's become our mistress. It has become the thing that separates us from family. You know why we don't have family reunions as we used to? Because we're too busy. Why have we drifted apart? Because the economy has demanded that we work weird hours, 7 days a week, 6 days a week, 12, 14-hour days, and we don't have time for family. We're coming up on family holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and many people will just stop by and get a plate. Or when they come together, it won't be sitting around the table sharing and talking. It'll be just stop in, get a paper plate, and sit all around the house. Why? Because we've lost the sanctity of family. When I was a child, that was the only time we ate out of the china cabinet, was Thanksgiving and Christmas. We didn't see that stuff during the year. Tell you to get out the good china. What the heck is the good china? Why? Because that was what we called everyday dishes. But now it's gone. We don't even want to know our family. It hurts the heart of God. Watch. Because it hurts our performance in church. We don't connect like we used to in church. When I was a child, if somebody had a death, everybody in the church came. It was almost like a church service. You just came. You'd stop by the house. In fact, the whole concept of the repast was for the family. It was for the family because they couldn't cook because they were dealing with the stress and the responsibilities. So people would come and drop stuff off. We didn't turn that bad boy into a catered event. Mommy, what's for dinner? We going to the funeral. They having it upstairs. We'll all eat then, so hurry up. I'll bring me a plate. Why? There's no family structure. It's just about us. When's the last time you've gone to a funeral that wasn't your family? And since the Bible says you reap what you sow, could that be why nobody came to your grandmama's funeral? Because you didn't plant a seed of coming when it wasn't your family. When's the last time you picked up the phone and called family and said, hey, just wanting to say, how you doing? I just called. When's the last time you called the saint of God? Hey, just calling to let you know I'm praying for you. Heard you had some troubles, but I'm praying for you. Because our concept of family is not the same as God's. God wanted a family. So here's what he did. He created one. He created one. Genesis says he made animals, and the Bible says when he made animals, they were alive. But when he made man, man wasn't alive until he breathed in him. In other words, man is the only being with a God link. That means man, and by extension, woman, desire family. Now, this might shock you, although the culture does suggest it, but it may shock you. Men want family commitments as much as women. The only difference is they don't know how to articulate it as clear. Men need it just as much as women. Nothing brings more joy to a man than reproducing. Nothing. I don't care what you hear or what you think. Nothing makes him feel more like a man than reproduction. He wants that. He wants it. Now, he's scared of marriage. And if he had his way, he would reproduce in about 50 different other people. That's when men become seriously theological. That's when they all want to identify with Solomon. Glory to God, I'm like Solomon. I got a couple hundred. Only problem is one of those couple hundred are like Glenn Close. They're going to hunt you down, kill your rabbit, and put acid on your car. Now, why does God do that? If you look in the Bible, everything God made was made with a command, be fruitful and multiply. Humans are they're not exempt from that. You were created to be fruitful and to multiply. You say, well, God, how am I going to be fruitful and multiply? And you didn't give me a spouse yet. He will. Because he doesn't want you to live outside of your destiny. Now, here's the thing. You say, well, I've already been diagnosed that I can't have children. So is Abraham and Sarah. What you have to realize is your predestination overrides the doctor's diagnosis. See, here's what you have to do. If you're barren, you have to marry somebody with a promise. That's what God did. Now, let me show you. God made a promise to Abraham. Right? Okay. So Abraham and Sarah have been married a long time. So God comes to Abraham when he's 75. So let's just hazard a guess and say they've been married for 50 years. Say around 25, he gets married. 75, God comes and says, I'm going to give you a seed that's so great. Listen to what he says. That all the families in the world are going to be blessed by your seed. And what does God say is going to be blessed? All the families. This is powerful. All the families. Why is God talking about families? Because for some reason, that's his heart. Now, look at the world. What is Satan fighting the most? Family. Ah. Karl Marx said, look and see who your enemy fights the hardest, and there you'll find a friend. What is he fighting the most? Families. Why? Because it's been the heart of God for family. As we teach through this, you'll see. Now, watch this. So God says to Abraham, you're going to have a child. All right? So one may think that Abraham is impotent. He can't have the child. But that's put to rest when he goes into Hagar. Now, Hagar don't have a promise, but Abraham has a promise. He goes into Hagar. Hagar conceives. So that tells you there's nothing wrong with Abraham's seed. The spermicides are moving. He's got good motility. Each ejaculation contains 450 million sperm cells, but only one is necessary to penetrate the egg. Good old Abe can get the job done. Right? Nothing wrong with Abraham. But yet, Sarah can't conceive. She's the one that's infertile, not Abraham. What she needed, but watch this, when the Lord comes down to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord stops off at Abraham's tent and promises Sarah a child. He promises life to a dead womb. Now here's what he does. He takes the dead womb and puts it with the man who has the promise. That's why you have to wait on God for your mate. Because when God connects you, it will be not only with a person that can satisfy your spirit, your physical needs, but your spiritual destiny. God put Sarah with a person that had a promise. Stop marrying people without promises, or you're going to wind up empty. Why you marry a person and say, oh, I just ain't happy, because you married the wrong person. They don't have a promise for you. Y'all don't hear me. Jesus came down and he was placed inside of Mary. Mary was a virgin, never knew a man, virgin, all right? God selected Joseph because Joseph had a heart to still marry that woman after he found out she was pregnant. He did not say, oh my goodness, we're betrothed, that means engaged, and you pregnant. What? I'm done with you. Call all the, you know, Philly names. Now, had God chosen, if God hadn't chosen him, if she had chosen somebody else, they may have discouraged her so much that she may have had an abortion. You see, when you're with the wrong person, you can abort what God has placed in you. If you are in the wrong place, that's why you feel so dead on the inside. You see, if you're in a place that God is trying to birth something in you, but the leader won't let it be born, don't let him abort your baby. Get a new doctor. Why? Because God loves family. Oh, my child got pregnant. Love that child, encourage that child, and nurture that baby. Don't abort that baby. Come on, what the church gonna say? Who the heck cares? You walk in here proud. That's my baby and my grandbaby. Don't let these Pharisaical people talk about, oh, you ought to be ashamed. Only God gives life, and he's got a reason that he let my baby get pregnant. I don't care about no church people talking about me. That's your family.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
11115P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Praise God.